Okay. When I was first out in the ministerial field, we always called it the field, I was visiting a man along with Mr. Antion, whom I trained under initially for a couple of years, and there was a fellow that talked about a guy named Allen. I can't remember the first name, but evidently this Allen had written many books on conspiracy. It's a subject today, conspiracy theories. And this fellow had read probably all of the guy's books, and he was certain that there were a lot of things that were going to happen within the next 5 or 10 years because of what this fellow wrote. Now, as a matter of fact, none of those things happened, not a one. And that was in 1966. So that'd be, what, 52, 53 years ago when I was out there and listening to individuals. 1976, in Cleveland, Ohio, there were a couple young men that were telling me that the money had already been printed. It was purple money, and that money was going to be used rather than the green money that we had because the entire economy was going to fall. And there was going to be new money. It was a new world order that was going to be established. And it was going to be just in the next couple years. And that was 1976, just a couple years ago, so it could still happen. Now, in all of this, I'm not saying some of those things that have been predicted by some of these men will not happen. Because, frankly, some of it will. It's all a matter of timing. But it is interesting how totally, completely wrong they are in figuring out why it's going to happen, who's going to cause it to happen. That's where most of them go way off the beaten path. There was a book written in 1991 by Pat Robertson, I believe it was, maybe it was 1993, on the New World Order, and we'll come to that a little later in the sermon. And he predicted a lot of things, and he picked on Elder Bush, thinking that he was a conspirator, and that because of his background, because his relationship with the Trilateral Commission, that's a name that comes up, maybe the Freemasons is another one that comes up. These things have been coming up throughout all history, and of course the Jews are always the problem. In fact, brethren, the Jews are going to take over the world. It's called New Israel, you know, it's called us, the Church of God, being Jews, Christ in us. But I don't think most people understand that concept, that that's the way it's going to happen. A conspiracy theory is an explanation of an event. And this is one of the many definitions, and they're pretty much all the same, so I just picked one. And it probably came from Wikipedia, which is probably getting better over time. But it's a theory as an explanation of an event or situation that invokes a conspiracy by sinister and powerful actors, often political in motivation, when other explanations are more probable. Now, when I say these things, there are conspiracies. And I'll mention this more than once as we go through the sermon. There are conspiracies that you can read that are just thrown aside, like this is, people laugh at it, they mock at it, and actually we would say, I don't know about that, because there are conspiracies that have come true. And there are conspiracies out there that frankly are called conspiracies that I believe are absolutely true. Nevertheless, we can come to some of that a little later on. It goes on to say the term has a pejorative connotation. Does anybody know it? Pejorative? That's a legal term, of course. But it implies that the appeal to a conspiracy is based on prejudice or insufficient evidence. Conspiracy theories resist falsification and are reinforced by circular reasoning. In other words, basically, when someone comes up with this theory, there is no way you can reason with them, because if you say this, they'll say, see, that proves it. If you say this, it's like, see, that proves it. Now, again, it may be true, but Circular reasoning is both evidence against the conspiracy and an absence of evidence for it are reinterpreted as evidence of its truth. So you can't win for losing, so to speak. And the conspiracy becomes a matter of faith rather than proof. Although there are conspiracies called conspiracies that have a lot of proof behind them. And that's where you get into some problems with people who don't believe in any conspiracies. Now, there are conspiracies that have been true. I think all of us know of the attack by Hitler of Poland, and 1st of September, I believe it was, in 1939. What he did, and this was not till found out until about 1945, was set up 12 attacks against Germany by the Polish using slave labor, basically, is what he used. And this has been proven as true. And so he set these things up to look like the Poles were invading Germany, so it would give him justification for going in and starting World War II. One was the Gliwice incident. It was a covert Nazi German attack on the German radio station, Sender Gliwice, and I can't speak any German, and I don't know at all how they would say it, probably Sender Gliwice, you know, something like that. But it was on the 31st of August, 1939. It was the day before. The attack is widely regarded as a false flag operation staged with some two dozen similar German incidents on the eve of the invasion leading to World War II in Europe. The attackers had been posed as Polish nationals when they weren't. Adolf Hitler invaded Poland the next morning. Then I could go on with a little bit more. But again, it was all revealed by an SS officer, and they have his name down here, in 1945, that this is actually what happened. And so we have other conspiracies. Speaking of the Germans here, I remember reading a Plain Truth magazine. I was a janitor, by the way, in the circulation department of Ambassador College. And in the circulation department, once in a while, they'd get rid of a lot of old literature. And being the janitor, I would be, you know, throwing it away. But I would save anything like old Plain Truth magazines. I have copies of the very first Plain Truth magazine that ever came out, and maybe a couple more. So there was a lot of information that I would pull out of the garbage, and then I would sell. No, I didn't sell it. No, I would use it. I still have that today. But I do remember, I thought, well, this is far out, because I looked at some of the old Plain Truth magazines, and one was Hitler is not dead. And I thought, oh, Mr. Armstrong was, you know, he was caught up in some of those things. Except now you have documentaries that come out that absolutely prove that there is absolutely no proof that Hitler did die. You cannot prove it. In fact, there are a couple places that we think now, and the individuals who are putting these documentaries out have some evidence that he did make his getaway. I don't know. We don't know. Those are things that you can talk about. They're of interest, but you know he could have escaped. It is possible. There's some proof out there that he did, and yet maybe not enough to absolutely prove for sure. But sometimes you think, oh, you know, maybe we were far out in saying some of these things back in the 1940s when, in actuality, we may not have been. We may not have been. Okay, there's quite a few conspiracies here that you can look up. I just typed in conspiracy theories. And there are vast right-wing conspiracies. And one they said was, and I knew you'd like it here, in the Columbia congregation. It was concerning Hillary Clinton when she was being interviewed on the Today Show. Not that I don't like it, too. I do like to read. Republicans, by the way, and Democrats alike are guilty of promoting conspiracies. It doesn't matter which way you go, both parties. So Hillary Clinton was dismissing the Monica Lewinsky scandal at this time. And then she said, the great story here for anybody willing to find it and write about it and explain it, she said, is this vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president. So remember, a conspiracy is where you have sinister and powerful actors who are involved in trying to, in this case, not have the President Clinton voted into office. You know, we got to get rid of him. And would you think, knowing human nature, that any party would do such a thing? It's like, of course they wouldn't. And then this fellow who's writing about it says, well, here's the problem. And he goes on, and I won't go on. Another conspiracy basic theme is that everything is rigged. And then they name a Republican and a Democrat who are repeatedly saying these things, that everything is rigged, whether it's this one man in the Republican Party or this one man in the Democratic Party. And I won't go into names. And then you have another one. Pharmaceutical companies are hiding the connection between vaccines and autism. That's one that's out there. Now, depending on what you read, what you think about it, you may say, well, I believe it, or you might say, I don't believe it. But it's called a conspiracy theory. And they give dangers on all of these, and in this case, they say the danger is death. Another one. Big agriculture companies are hiding the negative effects of genetically modified foods. Danger, higher food costs, damage to the environment. And there are a couple Democrats who have both engendered GMO conspiracy theories. Now, I just don't like the idea myself that they would go into a food and change the DNA of that food. I personally think that there's got to be something that's going to happen on it. So I stay away. If I see GMO, I personally stay away from genetically modified food. I just don't think we have the wisdom to know how to do it just right, so it's going to give us the strength to run an 800 meter under a minute and 39 seconds, because it's down there about a minute and 40 seconds right now. So if I could find a GMO that would give me, you know, tremendous strength, I still wouldn't eat it, because I would die probably running an 800 meter. Is what I would do. Ted Cruz's father took part in the assassination of President Kennedy. Okay, that's another one. And that's where you have a couple of Republicans running against each other and want to get rid of Ted Cruz. So what do? You come up with, well, maybe he was. You start putting thoughts in people's minds. It is a known factor if you're running for election that the more you can get your name out there, the better, whether good or bad. And it's also known that the more pessimistic campaign you run, the more likely you're going to win. That's why people say, well, we don't like to hear that, but guess what? You put a seed in someone's mind, and they're going to think, I don't know. It sounds ludicrous. It sounds stupid. But maybe it's true. So those are some major themes. Well, I don't think the last two are themes so much as just conspiracies. How about this one? This is one my grandmother fell for, Grandmother Amelia Obi. The most prolific theories allege that the U.S. moon landings were staged by NASA in a film studio. And Grandma believed that. My grandma said no. Then actually, I don't think they had landed on the moon yet. I think it was Sputnik, and he had just circled. I think she died before they actually landed on the moon. She died, well, maybe not. Didn't we go to the moon? We were in New York, and it had to be about 1968, 1969, wasn't it, when we went to the moon? So she was dead by that time, so it had to be the Sputnik, you know, or whatever was going on. And she said, no, we would never do that, absolutely never. But the conspiracy is it didn't happen. None of these things have happened. Another one would be Kennedy's assassination, which, the conspiracy is that there was a major organization involved. Now, you know, it's interesting because as you talk to members throughout history, 50 years in the church, that's history, you see. But anyway, as you talk to members, you learn different things. And we did have a fellow down in San Antonio who was connected with the mafia. In fact, we've had a couple of them. I remember one guy in Cleveland who told me, "Mr. Sergeant, I don't know if I can tie to that your organization because you've got a guy there and I know the mafia type and he is not good." Guess what? The guy wasn't good. As it turned out, the guy was really bad and was kicked out of the church. And this fellow who was in the mafia detected it. The guy wore dark glasses all the time for one thing, but there's just other, you know, there's other signs, and he just knew, and he was right. But down in San Antonio, there's a fellow who came to me and he said, "Mr. Sergeant, before I came to the church," and by the way, he had changed his name. His name wasn't the name that he was using because he was so frightened of the mafia. He says, "I was at the party." He said, "I knew what they were planning. I knew before because it was being bandied about. They were talking about it, how Kennedy was going to be killed. And if it wasn't going to be in Dallas, it was going to be in New Orleans. I think that's where he was going next." And so you remember these things, and then all of a sudden, no, it was just one man. And what do you think I'm thinking? I'm thinking, no, I think the conspiracy may be right. Might be right. So you don't know what to believe in this world. After all, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 don't apply to politics and to conspiracy theories. You know, God knows what's going on. And so as you look at this, I'm not here to tell you which ones are true and which ones are not true. I'm not here to tell you that. I'm just here to let you know there are a lot of conspiracies that are out there. We do know, of course, that the earth is flat. And that's been a theory since the time of, I think Pythagoras was the one who disproved it. But what was interesting in this was it has in recent years been promoted by American software consultant Mark Sargent. That caught my attention. It's like, Mark Sargent is talking about this. I disassociate myself with Mark. But I could go on and on and on with all of the different conspiracies that are out there. The Eye of the Providence. On your U.S. dollar, you have the pyramid and the eye. And it is true that the Freemasons were involved with that eye. It is. But the Founding Fathers decided to put that in there. And supposedly it is God is watching over us. Although the Freemasons evidently had that same idea. But who knows what's behind it all. And frankly, it doesn't affect me. I'm not going to get rid of any dollar bills that you give me. If you want to give me all your dollar bills right now, I'll take them. So, as we get into the sermon here, when it comes to conspiracy theories, we have to, and I'll give you some points that we're going to be going through. One is give some credit to God. Okay, give some credit to God. And we'll end, and I'll let us know what we should do with them, because no one can tell us whether they are true or whether they are not true. If you tried to talk me out of the assassination conspiracy, it would be hard to do. Now, I'm not going to make any bets on it. I'm not going to bet my life nor my wife, either one, that it's true or not. You know the point. But the whole thing is, we can't know absolutely for sure. A lot of things we will know a little bit later on. But first of all, let's give some credit to God. And in all of this, we realize there's little stuff, and it's not going to affect our life one way or the other, is it? Whether Kennedy was shot because a group came together and plotted it, or whether it was one man, that's not going to change any of our lives one way or the other. So what I mean by give some credit to God, when you come to the overall plan, and this is what I get concerned about, is when we delve into an area that the Bible actually talks about, and we make judgments and come to conclusions that are not what the Bible would conclude. That's what we have to be careful of. So let's give some credit to God. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. Here it tells us, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. And we're talking about big things now, okay? We're talking about countries and the New World Order. I'll give you some information on that too. But how it is human beings that are responsible for the outcome of major, major events in the world. Those are the ones that we have to be careful of. Does God use human beings? You know, you have a disclaimer, I guess, on every statement almost that we make. Does God use human beings? And the answer is, yeah, he does, to bring about what he said would come to pass. He absolutely does. But here it says, in the world today, and actually for us today, when it comes to details, no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. And we have, you know, some specifics in the Bible, for example, Cyrus, where if you take a look at what God did with Cyrus and how he prophesied that I'm going to raise up a guy when you are in captivity. You have the Babylonian captivity and then the Medo-Persians took over. And when they're in captivity, I'm going to raise a guy up and through him, I am going to allow you to come back and establish the temple, build the walls, and you can start going back into your land. Now, Nehemiah, we realize, was there at the time and God used him, but it was during that time that we see God's prophecy. And a lot of people, by the way, say that prophecy was written after it all happened, right? So God wasn't really in it. But whatever the case, we know God's very much involved. By the way, if someone is a conspiracy theorist and they don't believe in God at all, they're an evolutionist, they're an agnostic, whatever, why should we give them too much credit? Except maybe they have some historical facts, maybe they have some recent facts that would back up what God is going to bring to pass in the future anyway. Isaiah 46, 8 through 10. Isaiah 46, 8 through 10. Here we see what God says again. Starting in verse 8, remember this and show yourselves men. Ezekiel 46 and verse 8. Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. In other words, they're still going to happen. God declared it. He has control over all things. Saying, and by the way, when we read these passages, we know that God understands human nature. And so he allows things to happen. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to cause men to be more wicked than they just naturally are. God uses human nature of people who are already wicked, or he uses the righteous to fulfill what he has planned. But he says, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. And so we read these things and we realize, first and foremost, God always specifically is in control of anything or everything that he wants to control. There's a lot of things that happen, and Marion and I wonder sometimes, what happened just in the last day or two that we feel was a miracle? I think, it was that F-16 jet that crashed into a warehouse out in California. And this thing comes down, and evidently when they bail out, it negates, nothing is going to go off. You know, the missiles, the bombs are all, you know, they're defused, perhaps would be the best word. They don't have fuses, but you know, whatever it is. And we look at that, and there's a guy that was in that same area 10 minutes before, and we think, you know, was that time of chance? Or God, knowing, you know, these things, clears this guy out because he wants to tell him something in the second resurrection? Or he's calling him in this age? We don't know. We don't know, you know, what God is doing, but there's a lot of things that happen that we think, you know, it seemed like a miracle. It seemed like God must have intervened, that he must have. I always like to go that way, although I do know time and chance happen to us all. But it is, it's good to know that God does love people. He just does love people, and that he intervenes whenever he wants to. At other times, he allows just regular circumstances to take their movement forward, and he doesn't intervene. There's a statement that I heard concerning an insurance company, and by the mere fact I can't remember what the insurance company is means that they're doing a very poor job of advertising. But what they say is something I hear over and over again, well, enough times where I've got it memorized. But we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. How many have heard that? So when it comes to give God some credit, we can say God knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two. Is it Allstate or Farm? Maybe he's doing a better job than I thought. So Farmers Insurance. So God knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two, but also because he's planned a thing or two, right? So this is what we know. So in Job, it's interesting when he was dealing with Job. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Okay, let's take a look here and see what he says to Job at the very end. I'll just take just a couple samples, one in Job 38 and one in Job 40. Job 38, verses 1 through 4. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" We just don't have the knowledge God does. And now God is answering Job not based on Job thinking that there is a conspiracy against him, I guess you would say, but based on Job's attitude of come down here, God, and I'll show you a thing or two. And that's what Job's attitude was. So God went on to say in verse 3, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me, 'Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?'" So he starts with the foundation of the earth. God laid the foundation. Was it 40 billion years ago? Someone has sent something out there that's something like what was sent out back 10 years ago or whatever. In other words, it's bringing information in through photography and maybe other technology that is telling us a little bit more about the universe. And I think they said it's 4 billion years ago or 40 billion years ago. How long has stuff been around floating out there in the universe? We don't know, but it's a long time. Where were you? We can't answer these questions. Job 40, verses 8 through 14. "Would you indeed annul my judgment?" he asked Job. "Would you condemn me that you may be made right?" That's what he was doing. "Have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor." This is verse 10 of chapter 40. "Array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place." In other words, if you can do that. What is God doing over time? He treads down the wicked in their place. The wicked, when he wants to make sure his plan is engaged, he'll take out whomever needs to be taken out. And God, by the way, is not one for torture. I've always said that. God gets rid of people very quickly, and I think they're just going to wake up in the resurrection, second resurrection, and say, what in the world happened? And they won't know what's taking place. So, again, give some credit to God. God knows everything, and we have His Word. And that's the second point that I'm going to come to. Filter all conspiracy theories through this. Okay, you got the conspiracies at top. This is a coffee filter, and it's coffee filter number 4 because we drink all of our coffee in the morning. So it takes a number 4 filter. And it's brown because there's a conspiracy out there that if you use one that is bleached, you're going to get sick and die right away. Well, we like the brown filter. If it's bleached, you know, this is better. I don't know if the coffee is any good for us. Some people say yes, some people say no, but... We only drink the good coffee. And my wife's going to surprise me, by the way, on Father's Day and give me a coffee grinder that is manual so you don't burn the coffee. Is it the baristas, you know, who are into this? So are you still going to surprise me with that? I hope so. Okay, you got the conspiracy on top. And now there's the Word of God. The filter is always the Word of God. Whatever is going to go through and end up in the pot that is in our mind should be always filtered, always filtered. Now, some things, how can you filter it? Some things may or not be true, but the big things we can filter, the important things are the ones that we can filter. So what about the economy? We'll start there. A recent paper by a guy named Tyler Durden, and he's with... Actually, this fellow is Brandon Smith. No, it's authored by Brandon Smith via altmarket.com. But anyway, to just give you a summation here, because I don't want to spend too much time on it, except to say this fellow talks about fourth generation warfare. He talks about the globalists. In fact, it's entitled America Will Lose the Trade War Because That Is What Globalists Want to Happen. That's what globalists want to happen. Now, is that true? We read something like this and we think, there is a conspiracy at the top and there's these elitists, that's another word that is used. They're all getting together and they are planning for the destruction of the United States. And they're behind the scenes, and they really don't care what's going to happen in China or America. These people are all for one world government and one economy, and they're going to bring it to pass. And our economy is going to fall because of the elitists. Now, what does the Bible say? So that's a conspiracy, and it was supposed to happen a long time ago, and now it's supposed to happen by 2019. They always move forward. Naturally, and that can happen. We're not saying it is wrong because it didn't happen yet. Okay? And I believe there will be one world government. I know that some of you may think, you know, I'm cultish, but I do believe that. I'm kidding about that. We all believe that there's going to be one world government. We all believe there's going to be one monetary unit. We can actually go to a scripture in the Bible that tells us that. So we know these things, but is it because of the elitists? So if we go to, let's say, Deuteronomy 28, verses 12 through 13 on the economy. And I'll put this away. There's a lot of reading that a person could go into and see why these men think they are so right. And there can be a basic fundamental premise that is correct, but they just don't know why. Deuteronomy 28, notice in verses 12 and 13. Why is it that we as a nation can be blessed economically and not cursed? Is it because of some conspiracy? In verse 12, the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations. That means we have a strong economy. We've got the money. We've got the savings. And we can lend to many nations. And you shall not borrow from the Chinese or from the Americans who, you know, the 10-year treasury bond and all the bonds that are out there. The government is borrowing money from us. giving us interest on it. You shall lend to many nations, you shall not borrow. And verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath any other nation. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today and are careful to observe them. That's the bottom line. Absolute bottom line. God will not allow any group, anyone at all, to bring the downfall of the United States. We bring that downfall upon ourselves. We are responsible for our own demise. Bottom line, we just are. And if God is going to use another group to do it, then he does. Okay? We can say there can be truth to this premise. But, you know, about bringing down. But he's the one, the mastermind behind it all, if he's going to do it that way. But always the bottom line is, we don't say, oh, those terrible Chinese. Well, they're very industrious. You know, they're taking advantage of the labor force. We know that. We never do that. You know, you can buy your running shoes and know that we're paying a really good wage for those, except that they're being made overseas. And the running shoes we're buying, maybe we paid someone 10 cents an hour. I don't know. To produce those shoes. If you read about it. But whatever the case, we know. Bottom line, we can always say, maybe there's people conspiring, and the answer is, people always conspire. They always are greedy. They always want money. People do out there, if they don't know the truth. But God is not going to allow it to happen unless we disobey his commandments. Always the bottom line. So we should never say, oh, those terrible Chinese or the terrible people here or the terrible people there. It's like, we are terrible. We're not obeying God. Bottom line. Pick on ourselves. Military. Okay. With the military, it's like, you know, it's, I don't know. There's something going on here. And with our military, why is it that God takes away the pride of our power? I don't think there's any country in the world that can beat us right now. None. But God is taking away the pride of our power. But when it comes to the military and defeats, perhaps, or problems with our military, or why aren't we able to go into Afghanistan and take the bad guys out and use their oil fields and get money back and whatever, it's like, got problems. Let's go to Leviticus. I think it's Leviticus. We could go to a couple places, but Leviticus 26 and verse 8 is a good one. We could go to Deuteronomy 32, why God allows other nations to militarily get the best of us. We could do that. Leviticus 26 and verse 18, I believe it is. Or is it verse 8? Verse 8. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight if we obey his commandments. Again, it's if we obey the commandments. It's always the case. God is going then to allow, in fact, in Deuteronomy 32, God allows other nations to just do the reverse of this, where they're the ones that are chasing us. They're the ones that will put us to flight if we don't obey. What about the New World Order? Do we know anything about the New World Order? I could go into a couple things here, but just because of time once again, and finishing this up, I've got a whole paper here, actually kind of a summary on the New World Order. And he talks about what the New World Order is. He thinks the New World Order is climate change. It has something to do with it, perhaps. I'm not saying it doesn't. But he starts out by saying, and this is by John Pfeffer of www.thenation.com, and then article Conspiracy Theory. John Pfeffer, December 2018. Do you know the story? The globalists want your guns. They want your democracy. They're hovering just beyond the horizon in those black helicopters. They control the media and Wall Street. They've burrowed into a deep state that stretches like a vast tectonic plate beneath America's fragile government institutions. They want to replace the United States with the United Nations, erase national borders, and create one huge, malevolent international order. However that word is pronounced. Malevolent, is it? Anyway, this is the basis of New World Order, and then they start talking about the anti-globalists, and they talk about the elitists in this one also, and the Freemasons, and you get all this going, and then he says, no, the New World Order then is climate change. But he gives at least a summary as you go through it. Now, when it comes to the New World Order, what's happening? Well, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Do they? Is that a conspiracy? I guess you could call it one, sure. It fits into the description that I gave in the beginning where it's a situation that invokes a conspiracy by sinister and powerful actors, often political in motivation. So would that be a conspiracy and conspiring? And the answer is yeah, definitely is. The rulers take counsel together. In fact, you can go to prophecies in the Bible where you have Arab nations that are going to consort together and they're going to be against Israel. That's in the Bible too. Is that a conspiracy of rulers? And the answer is, yeah, it is. It absolutely is. But they conspire and take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, who do they think they're going against? Well, they don't think it's God Almighty. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, this is what they say. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to be in Jerusalem, on Mount Zion. He's going to rule the world. He just is. And what you can really, if people don't know you, you can get away with this. But I've said it before where in an airport where people doesn't know me and they want me to come over and sign a political statement of some sort, I'll tell them, look, this is all wrong. I'm going to rule the world. And just watch their reaction. And then walk away. Don't tell them your name. Don't tell them the church you're affiliated with. Don't do any of that because it's just like, but it's interesting. I remember getting a hackster on the phone and he started this, and I said, are you a Christian? And he went like, yes. I said, well, what are you going to say to Jesus Christ about what you're doing on the phone line to all these people? You know you shouldn't be doing this. And it's like, he just stopped. He didn't know what to say. I hung up, so I didn't. But it's like, well, you're harder to get a hold of than getting cookies out of my grandma's cookie jar on the shelf or something. Have you heard that one? Do they call you on that one too? It's just all these things they come up with. So, but what we have then, when it comes to the New World Order, if you want the details, go to Revelation 11, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, and Revelation 18. Where it talks about a new world economy. And it is going to happen in the last 3.5 years. There will be, Babylon is going to be destroyed. Because the 10 kings destroy Babylon so they can join the beast. And along with the beast, who's promoted by the false prophet, will establish a new world economy. And Revelation 18 is all about the fall of Babylon, what happens, and how there's a cry throughout the economic world because of what's happening. And it's all planned by God. All of it's planned by God. He's the one that allows a system to be in place until the last 3.5 years. It's called a Babylonian system, and it's going to be destroyed and set up, and maybe God calls it another Babylonian system, because Babylon is, Babel, confusion. So it certainly could be called that. But what we know today as the economic system definitely is going to be destroyed. There's a real good book by the guy's name is Thomas Sowell, S-O-W-E-L-L. And it's on Rednecks and White Liberals or something like that, I think, is the name of the book. Some of you may have heard it. But he's got a pretty good grasp on an overall concept and some of the problems that come up. But basically, he blames the Jewish people to be the middlemen. Everybody hates them because they do nothing except make money in the middle. You know, not that they don't do anything, but that's his concept. And he gives some pretty good information on it. Not that his whole book is about that. It's not. But anyway, you come to Revelation 11, 13, 17, 18, and you see how really all of these things are coming together. So you filter then the New World Order information through the Bible. And then take a look and think in terms of filtering these conspiratorial ideas through just the sequence of events of the Bible. When you take a look at the whole Bible, you just think of the Bible and how it's written, and how in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which is, of course, called the law, you have creation, a major flood, then Abraham, and talking about Abraham's progeny from that period of time all the way to the end, almost, where you have Israel as the dominant nation throughout this period of time, except for the period when they go into captivity and they're cursed for a long time. But basically, you have in Abraham a prophecy of blessings, physical blessings to Abraham's descendants, and the spiritual blessing to the Israel of God, to the Israel of God. And that takes place in Genesis. And you skip through, you have a period of the judges of Joshua through Ruth period, then the Samuel through Chronicles period, coming to the Persian period. You know, it follows in a chronological sequence. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther is in that Persian period. And then, of course, you have thrown in there some books like Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And you come out of that with the major prophets, and then finally Daniel. Now, if you want a book where you can fit all these conspiracies into, go to, just put Daniel here. Conspiracies with the big, big conspiracies. Put Daniel there, and then ask ourselves, what fits into Daniel's prophecy, inspired by God? Babylon, Persia, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, and then you get the Roman Empire and all of its rises and falls. So you have all of these nations that are not Israel, and then you just fit the conspiracies into that and ask ourselves, how does it fit? How does it fit into all of that? And when you take a look at Daniel, it gives you a lot of understanding. And then you can go to the details that we find in the book of Revelation. But you have this whole concept. It's an outline of history from the time of the captivity of Israel and Judah all the way to the return of Jesus Christ. That's what you have in the book of Daniel. Because what do you have coming at the end of the Roman period? And that is this rock that crushes all the kingdoms of the earth. And that tells you so much. So personally, what do we do? Let me give you 4 points here and then end. Personally, what do we do? All of the above, what I said, you know, in the beginning here, and that is give God some credit and filter all conspiracy theories through God's word. All of it. Do all of that. And then number two, don't become paranoid. Because what we can do is we can look at conspiracies, whether they are right or wrong, but we could become paranoid. And I don't know all the conspiracies out there, but I do know that sometimes we think we're being watched, And the answer is, frankly, we're being watched. Of course we are being watched. Now, to what degree? I don't know. Can they tap into your phone? Sure. Yeah. Can they find out your bank account? I guarantee, I think that if they want to find out everything about me as far as the exact bank account I have, you know, they can find it. We are told don't give your social security number out because you can be hacked more often, and I agree with that. In fact, social security number was never meant to be an identity of you. It was never meant for that in the beginning, so you shouldn't have to give it. But I guarantee you, if I go for a prison visit, I won't get into prison unless I give my social security number. I can't. That happened, and I'm thankful I didn't have my social security number. I was visiting a prisoner in Illinois, and I was coming home from camp, and I had a bunch of guns in my trunk as I parked in the parking lot. It's like, what am I doing? I've got all these guns in the trunk, including high-powered rifles, two of them. And it's like I go in there and I think, maybe I should have let somebody else take those guns back home. It's just like, but I go in there and they say social security number. And I think I didn't carry my card in there. I could tell them what it was, but they wanted to see the card. And, I said, you know, I'll give it to you so I can see this prisoner. And they said, no, we need the card. Now, they're not supposed to be able to do that. They really shouldn't do that. There should be some type of other identity. But is that a conspiracy? Is that part of a conspiracy where people can get your... Look, they've hacked my credit cards, our credit cards, so much that if you're looking to get away with never, you know, being involved in the society and having anybody find out, you know, what you do... Eric Wilson just told me that his wife has been down to the country of Colombia, and she's been buying things down there. That was some time ago, I think. But anyway, their card recently was hacked. We had, what, 10,000? 10,000 and 10,000, something like that, hacked. And I call the place that is using this card, and I say, I want to talk to you about this. And they say, what is your credit card number? And I said, I'm not going to give you my credit card number. You just used it. And so you go to the company, and so we've had to cancel many credit cards just because of people using them. And I know my wife has to stop using it so much, but whatever the case, not at all. We use it for everything, for $2. But we can't become paranoid, otherwise it'll destroy our life. So don't get to the point where it comes, you know, like, oh, I've got to watch everything. If the U.S. government wants to find something out about us, they're going to do it. They just are. Number three, understand that some conspiracies are true. They are true. But we don't need to convince each other. The pharmaceutical vaccines, autism, we don't have to convince one another on that. Why do we need to do it? Kennedy's assassination, the chip, the big chip, you know, that we're going to have, which is very possible now, very, very possible. We scoffed at it years ago, but it's like, no, they are really thinking of just pass your hand through it and the chip does it. But that's been a conspiracy in the past. Why is it that we are not going to be able to buy or sell, you know, in the future? We are not going to be able to buy or sell unless we have the mark of the beast. Do we just tell them that we keep the Sabbath? Because we do know it ties in to Sabbath, holy days, definitely, and our work, whether we will work or not. But somehow we're going to be marked, and we cannot buy or sell unless we go along with the beast power. That is absolutely so. Those are the things that are going to affect us more than anything else. Number four, pray for the gift of edification. Pray for the gift of edification. Most of our talk should be edifying. And if there's something that is conflicting, then just set that aside. Because there's no reason to be discussing conflicting issues in the church that don't, mount up to or count up to a hill of beans. Is that what they say or something? To that effect. So we just stay away from those. And there's a lot of them because there are a lot of differences and backgrounds that have formed and shaped those thoughts that we have that are divisive, could be divisive, but they don't amount to anything. We just leave those aside because it doesn't matter. All things will be cleared when Christ returns, and we will know everything that's been going on. And probably we will be surprised at some of the things that has shaped world history. I'm sure we will be. So pray for the gift of edification. And that's 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. If there's any gift that we should pray for, the gift to edify, to build up, to help others. Very important. And finally, I'm going to go to Psalm 119, 97. Psalm 119. And on the way out, I was thinking that we have a song. You know, it's page 98, "Oh, How Love I Thy Law." And it comes from Psalm 119 in these verses. When I got to church, I looked it up. Psalm 119, 97. And here's how we can understand what God is doing in major happenings in the world. 97, Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. So how sweet are your works to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So basically we just realize that the more we obey God, all of us, we have an understanding of those big things that fit into the Word of God, the conspiracies that we filter through the Word of God. And again, I think all of us realize that we're in a world that is Satan's world, and we certainly pray always, "Thy kingdom come." I don't think that the term conspiracies is going to be around in the millennium and on. I think those words will be things of the past.